This is the week of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, which means at the end of the week we have the opportunity to commemorate Yom HaKippurim and to experience Yom HaKippurim. In anticipation for Yom Kippur, there are always many, many questions that come up. And one important question that is asked every year is about certain times of medications, whether one is allowed to take medications on Yom Kippur, what is one allowed to take, and what perhaps is one not allowed to take, and how should one take it properly. I'd like to talk this evening about that issue, and to really try to gain an understanding of what is involved in this question. I was asked this week as well by a number of people about caffeine suppositories, and someone else asked about Tylenol suppositories. It was asked by a number of people. Actually, a pharmacist called me up, and he said he's a pharmacist in Borough Park, and he told me that the week before, not Borough Park, Avenue J and Coney Island, I don't know, that's Flatbush. So he told me, thank you. So he told me that his pharmacy is jam-packed the week before Yom Kippur, every year the same thing, and everybody's buying the suppositories because they think that you're not allowed to take pills and you are allowed to take suppositories, so obviously they're all going to buy those. What we're going to argue tonight is perhaps there's room to discuss whether or not that's a valid argument. Maybe pills might be better than suppositories. So let's see, let's talk about the issue, and it's very relevant to Halacha Lamaisa. We begin with the following question, which is something that is also asked almost every year. So in Gourmet Glot and in many of the local stores, they sell what they call the Tzom Kal pill, which is a pill that a person takes that's a time-release capsule. I don't know exactly how it works, but somehow it is able to give you nutrients or somehow make you feel that you're not even hungry for the next 24 hours. That is a pill that was discovered or invented by some scientists in Eretz Yisrael, and it is called the Tzom Kal pill. And this is an important question. Is that something that one is allowed to take, or perhaps not? So we begin with the following issue. There was a comment made by the great Chassam Sofer in his commentary on Maseches Yuma, an hour perek, where the Chassam Sofer argued that he thought he had a big chiddush. His chiddush is not at all accepted the halacha, but I believe it's a fascinating opinion to be aware of, not only because it's the great Chassam Sofer who shared it with us, but there were other Achronim who said the same thing. All of them were not accepted, but it's an interesting idea, and it really frames the whole discussion that we're going to have tonight. So the Chassam Sofer writes as follows. He says, here I'm about to tell you a chiddush, and this is something that was enlightened to me min ha-shamayim. And they left room for me to say my own chiddush, something that was never said before. Says the Chassam Sofer, we have a problem. It says in the Torah, on Yom Kippur, you have to afflict your soul. Now the Chassam Sofer writes, you're sitting and eating the whole Erev Yom Kippur. So when Yom Kippur comes in and Shkia hits, what's the inui? I'm not hungry. I'm not thirsty, I'm not hungry. I just finished eating maybe 20 minutes ago, half an hour ago. And as we know, the Chassam Sofer points us to the Halach and Shulchan Aruch, and that is, what if a person washes for a meal on a regular day, nothing to do with Yom Kippur? How long does one have to bench after that meal? 72 minutes. Why? Because we assume after 72 minutes, that's the Shas equal. That's how long it takes for your stomach to begin to process it, and then you start getting hungry again for another meal. Says the Chassam Sofer, if you're going to eat within 72 minutes of the start of Yom Kippur, within 72 minutes of the Shkia or Tzeis HaKochavim, then it's going to turn out that the whole beginning of Yom Kippur, you're not going to be mekayim the mitzvah of Inui. And therefore he argues, let's read what he says. Ratzal lomar, sheyaschil lifrosh me'achila. My chiddush is that I think we should stop everybody from eating and drinking shah mesuyemes kodem halayla. You shouldn't stop eating or drinking when you go to shul for tefillah zakah. You should stop eating or drinking 72 minutes before Yom Kippur starts. Why? After all, the clock starts at Shkia, and at Shkia, you're not going to be mu'una, you're not going to be afflicted at all, you're not going to be pained. If a person is going to eat until the night, mamish, turns out that you're coming into the yomtiv, totally full, totally satiated. Aval kishem mafsik shah kodem, if you're going to stop eating at least an hour before, nichnas kishu mu'una. Then, as we know from the halach and shulchan aruch by Berachas HaMazon, if you're going to stop 72 minutes before, then by the time Yom Kippur comes in, you're going to be hungry again. Nichnas kishu mu'una, then the inui has already begun. V'hashtabos asmano tosefes, einenu mu'una adayin ba'atzmo. Elohu Prisha Hamol Sheyaskel Ha'inu Be'erev Miyanim Knisus Hayom. So he says, we're lucky that we have this buffer zone of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim every year before Yom Kippur. So we're Mekabel Yom Kippur a little bit early, and he's hoping that you're going to be Mekabel at 72 minutes early, which nobody does. And then, when that happens, by the time Yom Kippur rolls in, and now it's the time for the Shkia, it's already going to be the beginning of your Inui, because your stomach has already processed the food, and now you're not going to be satiated any longer. That's the Chiddush of the Chasam Sofer, which, Baruch Hashem, we do not accept. Now, what's fascinating here is the Shevet HaLevi, which is Rav Vosner's Chuvas. Rav Vosner was a Hungarian. So Hungarians have a very different style of psak. It's very much in line with the Chasam Sofer. They felt the Chasam Sofer was the great Gadol. I mean, we all feel that he was the great Gadol, but the Hungarians in particular follow many, many of the opinions of the Chasam Sofer. And the Shevet HaLevi certainly is one always to defend and to follow the practices of the Chasam Sofer. And here, the Shevet HaLevi says, you know, I defend you all the time, and I always try to make sense out of your opinions, but here, I really believe this is not to be accepted at all. So writes the Shevet HaLevi as follows, V'adon lefnei maran ha-chasam sofer bekarka. I'm standing in the ground, I don't even know how I have the audacity to raise my head and raise an issue against the chasam sofer. T'chidush zeh soser kol shitos ha-shas v'harishonim v'piske halacha. Says the Shevet HaLevi, I don't know what he's talking about. What the chasam sofer suggests here is against everything. Ubarur, and it's clear, the Harishonim mianu b'derech hazeh, that the Rishonim did not accept this at all. The nekudas hachidush al chasam sofer shetzarach sheyargish ha'inu miyad b'knisas halayla. The whole chidush of the chasam sofer is that immediately on the start of Yom Kippur, a person has to feel the inui right away. Hu neged mashmos kal Rishonim. That is against what all the Rishonim say. Di inui da'asra Torah b'yom ha'kippurim ayidei achila. This that the Torah says, you have to be ma'ana yourself on Yom Kippur and not eat, that is be'etzem hayom gorim bitul ha'inui. And he says, v'ayin shas yuma ayin dalet amad beis. Timidos ha'inui sheva al tase dumi de malacha uvamasha ena orcha mekayim ha'inui. He says, the only way that you're mekayim the mitzvah of inui on Yom Kippur is by not eating on Yom Kippur. It has nothing to do with what you do before Yom Kippur. And therefore he writes, I don't know what the Chasam Sofer is talking about. It's against the whole Gemara. It's against the way the Rishonim understand the Gemara. He thinks the Chasam Sofer is completely wrong in his Chiddush that he suggests here, and he thinks it should not be accepted at all. You go a little further down and you see, Rabbi Avadi Yosef also deals with this issue, but he doesn't deal with it coming from the Chiddush of the Chasam Sofer. He quotes a different one of the Acharonim that said the same thing, and that was in the Sefer Seder HaMishnah. So that was a commentary on the Rambam. And in Hilchos Shvisa Sa'asar, which is the Rambam Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, the Sefer, Seder HaMishnah, says this very same Chiddush. So let's read what he says. Shakasa, Shaniralo, that it seems to him, Shazman HaTosefes Mechol Al HaKodesh Be'erav Yom HaKippurim, that this that we need to stop, this that we need to refrain, already a little bit earlier than Yom Kippur officially starts, and we have to add on, Sheyifrosh Me'achilo Shtia B'yod HaYom Gadol, this way, at the time that Yom Kippur comes in, you'll be a little bit hungry. Once your stomach already starts to process the food, that's when you start getting hungry for the next meal. If a person ate very little on Erev Yom Kippur, then they only have to do a little bit of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. If they ate a lot on Erev Yom Kippur, then they have to make sure to stop eating much earlier, in order that by the time Yom Kippur comes in, they will be a little bit hungry. Udvarim Eile, says Rabbi Avadi Yosef, this that he suggests, Einam Eledofi, this is a total mistake. It's not correct at all. Techitema Shalot Sivsa HaTara Le'inisha Yom HaKippur Matzmo. The Torah only tells me that on Yom Kippur, you have to be ma'ana yourself by not eating. And over here, I didn't eat on Yom Kippur. Everything I did was before Yom Kippur. Shalo lecho v'shalo lishtos. I hope everyone understands that this is just framing the discussion for the Tzom Kalpil. So here we have a discussion amongst the Achronim. Ava mashanena m'meila me'amazon shebemeyav. This that I ate on Erev Yom Kippur. And now it's still lingering in my body, and now my body still feels satiated and full from all that I ate on Erev Yom Kippur. Eimekach klum, what does that make a difference? What I did on Erev Yom Kippur has no bearing on Yom Kippur itself. V'dai b'tosefes kolshi, and therefore he says, there is no amount of tosefes that you need as a minimum for Yom Kippur, and therefore he says, You don't have to have any kind of separation before Yom Kippur of when exactly you have to stop eating. You stop eating when it's this man to go to shul. That's the time to stop eating. That's what he writes. So what you see here is that there was a discussion amongst the Achronim. Maybe we should assume that what a person does on Erev Yom Kippur bears a very important, significant role to the Inui on Yom Kippur itself. So the Achronim are arguing, maybe we should say that the Tosefes has to be much earlier on Erev Yom Kippur. Why? Because this way, your Inui will be meaningful once Yom Kippur comes in. And we reject that and we say, how can that be? If the Torah only instructs me, Inui on Yom Kippur has to be on Yom Kippur itself, the Shev Al Taseh, make sure you don't eat on Yom Kippur. I didn't eat on Yom Kippur. So how can you tell me that I violated the din of Inui on Yom Kippur if I didn't eat anything? Which leads us to the next issue, and that is, what's with the pill? Right? So what's with the pill? Should the pill be the same thing? Maybe I should argue that the same way the Achronim here say that whatever you eat on Erev Yom Kippur is not an issue of Inui once Yom Kippur comes in, maybe I should say the same as with the pill. Whatever I do on Erev Yom Kippur is Erev Yom Kippur. It has nothing to do with the Inui. Nothing at all to do with the Inui. Now that's a very important question. And if you look in the Stechemet, I happened to be reading through the Stechemet last week, which got me going on this issue. So the Stechemet in the very first Simen, Simen Aleph in the Stechemet, he talks about this issue, and he says, in his day already, he said there was some scientist that came up with a pill that was, I don't know, a time-release capsule, but something to the effect that would help a person not be hungry on the fast. And the question was, is this acceptable? Is this something that a person is allowed to use, or perhaps not? Now this question was sent to the Netziv by Rav Meir Auerbach, who was the author of the Sefer Imrei Bina. And he lived in Yerushalayim at the time, and he sent it to the Stechemet, and they corresponded about this issue, whether or not it is acceptable to use this, or perhaps one should refrain from using it. So let's see what the Stechemet writes. Yesh lachkor. He says, I have a suffix. Had nogin kama anashim lasos be'erav yom kippurim. This that we find that many different people have the practice, that they do skulos shonos, different kinds of ideas that they have. You know, Rabbi Billet sent out his email this week with all the rules. Apparently the doctors say they have their own rules. Everybody has their own ideas how you should fast in the best possible way. So in his day also, they had all these ideas. Everybody had their skulos, different ideas. Shelo yargishu atzom. How am I going to bypass this fast day? How am I going to make sure not to be hungry on the tainus? Va'acher mischak memod. And he says there are those who are even smarter and they say, shezeh haskula hi yoter bidukam. And who said, this is the greatest way to make sure you won't be hungry by taking whatever it is, this pill, and making sure that you're going to pass through Yom Kippur without an issue at all. If you hear from Ma'ariv, Ma'ariv is in the main shul. Shelo yavo shum taiva lo la'achila v'lo l'shtia. I don't want to be hungry, I don't want to be thirsty over Yom Kippur, so I'm going to take whatever it is that the doctor suggests, and this way I won't be hungry. V'ani ha'ani b'das, says the Stechemet, I humbly submit that I think, im yeyos lasos ken, I'm not sure, is this right to do or not? And the Stechemet says, I was considering the issue, I was trying to figure it out, after all, you're not doing anything on Yom Kippur, you're doing everything before Yom Kippur. So he doesn't connect it with what I broke from the Chassam Sofer, but I think it is connected. Maybe it should be the same. The same way you're allowed to eat until the minute before Yom Kippur starts, maybe you should also be allowed to take the pill. And this way you can save yourself from the Inui on Yom Kippur. So he writes, Pashtus hakra dechala nefesh asher lo se'une. He says, after all, the Torah says, Ki chala nefesh asher lo se'une. Whoever does not afflict themselves on Yom Kippur, that means you have an obligation to be ma'ana yourself. You have an obligation to afflict yourself. And by taking a pill, he says, how can you do something, even though you're doing it before Yom Kippur, but how can I do something to remove my hunger? Torah said, one of the ways of afflicting yourself on Yom Kippur is to be hungry, not to eat food. How can you take a pill now that's going to make you not hungry?
Didn't say not to eat.
Torah said, if, that's correct, it's a good point. If the Torah said, lo sochal, then you'd be right, because I'm not eating. But what he's arguing is that if you look carefully, the Torah says, lo
se'une. I'm saying, but it's relative. Some people don't want to eat. I mean, there could be all different levels, right? There's no consideration. I mean, I'm saying, you know, if even if you hold a kinoi by virtue of not, of separating yourself from food.
Uh-huh.
Meaning
you never like to eat.
I never like to eat.
Okay.
So I'm saying, then what happens exactly? Do they have to eat? I mean, now that you,
No, so the Torah basically makes the rules, the Chachamim make the rules of Inui, based on, like we said a few weeks ago, Nimsar Davar LeChachamim. What do most people consider to be an Inui? Most people consider Inui to be not eating, not drinking, and therefore we assume that's included in Lo Se'une. And therefore he says over here, how can you go ahead and undermine the whole point of what Yom Kippur is all about? How can I take a pill that's going to take away my Inui? He doesn't like it.
What if one goes to sleep all day Yom Kippur?
Yeah. Oh, so that's a good question. And it's similar to what the Gemara says. We're going to get to that in a minute. The Gemara has a question, a sukkah we didn't learn yet, but the Gemara has a question in Yuma Dafayin Dalet. So the Torah tells me, Tanu as nafsho seichem. Torah says, on Yom Kippur, you have to have Inui. So maybe the Gemara asks, maybe I have to go out into the boiling hot sun and sit there and dehydrate myself and schwitzing away and sweating and smelling and everything. That's Inui. I find that very painful. I don't enjoy that at all. So maybe the Gemara says, maybe you're mechuyev to do that on Yom Kippur because that will add to the severity of the Inui, says the Gemara. No. Inui, you don't just make it up what to you is considered to be Inui. The Chachamim were Koveya. These five things are considered an Inui. And that's all you have to do. You don't go and invent your new Inuyim that, oh, I should also get a headache from standing out in the sun all day long and being schwitzing and boiling hot and sweating and smelly. That's not something you're mechuyev to do. That's something, it's not something the Torah ever understood is included in the word of Tanu es nafsho seichem. So here, he writes, but the Torah did say, the Chacham did mandate that part of Inui is not to eat. Part of Inui is that you should be hungry. And therefore he writes that by going and taking the pill, you're undermining what the Inui was meant to do. So look what he says. Chazinon, what do you see? The Kalmasha Nucha Lahosif Inui hi mitzvah. Ve'ech nasa lechatchila bekum va'asei lahasir kelo Inui. How can a person go outright and take a pill which is going to undermine this whole idea, this whole premise of being Tanu es nafsho seichem? Stechema then continues, you go out the second side of the page, and he goes into a long arichas there, a very long arichas about whole Rabbi Kiva. It seems like a huge five-page tangent to me. Somehow he ties it back together. I didn't have enough patience to read the whole thing and understand how it's tied back. I just read the bottom line. So what does he say the bottom line? I admit, I didn't have enough time today. So the Stechema writes, bottom line. My first paragraph that I argue that it's not correct is what I stick with. After the five-page tangent that had nothing to do with what I said, I get back to my original point and he says, Ulam, Lasos skula shelo yargishu klal ha'inui be'atzam hayam hakadosh, to do something. Now he calls it a skula, but today it means a pill. To take a pill, which is going to undermine your inui on Yom Kippur, and you're not going to be hungry, al daiti ani omed, I stand on my principles, and I still feel, she'ein arich lasos kein, it's not the right thing to do. Lo mitzad midas chasidus, lo mitzad lahasar mi itzumo shel yom hakadosh, you're taking away from what Yom Kippur is, and I look forward to you, Rav Meir Auerbach's response. I'd like to know, what do you say about it? I'd like to know, what do you say? But this is my opinion, totally, absolutely unacceptable, because you're taking away from this idea of Tanu es nafsho seichem.
He says cloud.
Yeah. He's saying it's not complete. Okay, but I think he just means that it takes away from what the Inui is supposed to be. Yeah?
How does he resolve the issue over the Sheva
Al Hasa? So let's see. So that's what all the other Achronim say. What are you talking about? So let's see. So Rabbi Yaakov Breish, who was a great Gadol in Switzerland, has a Tshuva Sefer called the Chalkas Yaakov. And there he has very important Tshuvas. And there he also weighs in on this issue. So Rabbi Yaakov Breish writes that Nishal, did I put this on here? I didn't put it on. So the Chalkas Yaakov writes, he too was asked, Harofim himtziu min hapulim, he said the doctors came up with this new pill, asher imbolam osam, believe it or not, if you swallow it, ein sovlim rav, you're not going to be hungry, ba'asher kol pam nimo garin echad, all you have to do is take one little pill, vizem mol neged harav, and believe it or not, somehow, it makes a person not feel hungry anymore. So the Chalkas Yaakov was raising the same question. Is this acceptable before Yom Kippur, or perhaps not? Upashan, and he writes, L'dayti pshuta de mutter. In my opinion, there's no question about it. It's mutter. What should be the problem? Dahachi maisa achila shalo nasa be'erev Yom Kippur. Because the same way you're allowed to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, and no one ever said that you're not allowed to, and we don't accept this chiddush of the Chassam Sofer that you have to stop eating an hour and a half before Yom Kippur, so too, why can't I take a pill before Yom Kippur starts? Whatever I do on Erev Yom Kippur is Erev Yom Kippur. It has nothing to do with Yom Kippur itself. The Inui that I do on Yom Kippur has to be that I refrain from Achila on Yom Kippur. Not that I have to make sure to refrain on Erev Yom Kippur. What I do on Erev Yom Kippur bears no value at all. Yeah?
But the cases are not the same. case, you will have Inor the next day. Fine, you don't have it by Tzeis.
Oh.
You don't have it the next day. In this case, you won't.
Okay, so let's see. One second. V'lo b'yom kippur matzah harei adraba. He says, after all, Rashi says, I don't know if we're going to have time to get to it, but there's a whole discussion in the Rishonim. When we're told that we have a mitzvah of achilah ne'er yom kippur, it's not clear why exactly we have such a mitzvah. Not clear if it's deraisa derabanan, not clear if it's an asmachta, not clear why we don't make a brach on it. A lot of things aren't clear about it, but the Rishonim have a major disagreement. Why is it that we eat on ne'er yom kippur? What's the mitzvah all about? So some say in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah, some Rishonim say it's because we have a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. After all, Yom Kippur is a moed like every other one. Yom Kippur is also a time to be misameach, to have oneg. And therefore, Rabbeinu Yonah writes, since you can't have the Sudas Mitzvah on Yom Kippur itself, therefore we have to back it up, we have to have it on Erev Yom Kippur. So the eating on Erev Yom Kippur is some way the Sudas Mitzvah for Yom Kippur itself. Which if you look at the bottom, look at the Medrash. The Medrash learns from the Pasuk, Yifei Nof Mesos Kala Aretz. What does it mean, Mesos Kala Aretz? What is the enjoyment? What is the celebration for the whole Jewish people? Shalohaya Echad Me Yisrael Meitzar Kishahaya Beis HaMikdash Kayim. Nobody was ever sad or upset when the Beis HaMikdash was around. How could it be? Why not? Why was no one ever depressed when the Beis HaMikdash was around? There were plenty of things going on then also. Shahaya Adam Nichnas L'Sham Malei Avonos. Says you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, you know you've done terrible Averis all year long. Vahaya Makriv Karban Umiskaperlo. It's very simple. It's a great life. You go, you eat chazer treif, you go do whatever you want. Show up in the Beis HaMikdash, spend a couple of $100s. I had a great time the last couple of months. Take care of the problem. What's there to be upset about? Life's great. And says the Medrash, Ein simcha gedola mizu, shahaya yotzei tzadik. That's a great life. That's a great life. Sounds like a very interesting Medrash. But that's really what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying. Yom HaKippurim is certainly a zman of simcha. After all, Yom Kippur is the time when a person goes in Malei Avonos, just like the Beis HaMikdash, and you walk out like a tzaddik. It's great. It's great. What could be bad about that? And therefore, says Rabbeinu Yonah, since we have a chiyuv of simcha on Yom Kippur, that means that we have to make sure to have some sort of suda, but we can't have the suda on Yom Kippur, so we have an Erev Yom Kippur. That's what he argues. That's the reason why we eat on Erev Yom Kippur. And based on that, if that's really the case, Rabbi Yosef Engel argues in one of his Sfarim, I don't recall exactly which one, either Gilyonei HaShas or one of the other ones, he writes that maybe a person should be makbid to have basar v'yayin on the Suda Erev Yom Kippur. Not just to have the food that you enjoy. Make sure you have basar v'yayin. Let's say I like pizza. That's going to fill me up the most. That's not good enough. You have Simchas Yom Tov. If the whole meal is supposed to be Mishum Simchas Yom Tov, so then you should make sure to be makbid to have a little bit of basar, a little bit of yayin, because it's a regular Yom Tov. Not everybody does that. But Rabbi Yosef Engel says he thinks there's room to argue that maybe it makes sense to do that. Because after all, this might really be a Sudas Yom Tov that is just done a little bit before Yom Kippur comes in. Very interesting issue. However, many of the Rishonim disagree. Rashi is the most prominent of the Rishonim who disagree. And Rashi says, no, that's not why we have a Suda on Erev Yom Kippur. What are you talking about? Zman Simchas Seinu? Yom Kippur is Yom Adin. What is this? It's not a joke. Yom Kippur, the reason why we eat on Erev Yom Kippur is very simple. Because we want to make sure we get through it. How else are you going to make it through Yom Kippur? And therefore Rashi says, Haskein Atzmacha B'tisha. Make sure you prepare yourself on Erev Yom Kippur, Kadesha Tucha Lusanas Ba'asara, in order that you should be able to have the strength and the ability to fast properly the way you should on Yom Kippur itself. So that's the opinion of Rashi, and that's really the very important opinion of Rashi, because from there, writes the Chalkas Yaakov, everybody's supposed to be eating on Erev Yom Kippur and doing whatever they can to make sure they are prepared properly for the fast tomorrow. One of the best ways to do that, writes the Chalkas Yaakov, is to take these magical pills that are going to make a person not be hungry at all. This way they know that they won't have to break the fast. Okay? Sounds great. Writes Rabbi Avadi Yosef once again, and he raises the issue that Ari raised, and that is, how do you deal with the Gemara? How do you deal with the Gemara? So let's see. Tanya, Tanu is nafsho seichem. The Gemara in Maseches Yuma Ayin Dalet says, Tanu is nafsho seichem, you should afflict yourself. Yachol yesha b'chama o b'tzina v'yitzdayer. You might think it means you should sit out in the boiling hot sun, or you should sit in a freezing cold Beis Medrash and make yourself freezing and get a cold, or to get sick. I'm sorry, you don't get a cold from sitting in a cold room. Made a mistake. Tamalomar, somehow it always happens to me. I don't know. Tamalomar v'chomalacha lo sasu. Peirush Rashi, how is that an answer? Again, the Gemara wants to know. Maybe you should go outside in the burning hot sun and schwitz and sweat and be smelly and your clothing will get dirty. No, says the Torah, v'chomalacha lo sasu. How do you learn anything from there? Says Rashi, "Ma mitzvah malacha sheva al tasehi." Just like the mitzvah not to do malacha on Yom Kippur is, to refrain from doing malacha. Af mitzvah inui sheva atasa. So to the mitzvah of inui. Doesn't mean you should sit there and poke yourself with needles all day long. Doesn't mean you should go outside in the burning hot sun. It means sheva atasa. It means don't do anything. It means you should refrain from eating and drinking. Shalo yochel v'shalo yishte. Lamadnu mikan. Right, so Rav Adi Yosef, we learned from here. The Torah never said, go and do an activity that's going to make you suffer. The Torah just says, you should refrain from doing something that's a proactive. The Torah says, don't do these five activities, because that is part of inui. From there we learn, therefore you would be allowed to take these pills on Erev Yom Kippur, nothing wrong. Because the only problem is that on Yom Kippur you have to be Sheva Al Tasa. Over here, if I took the pill on Erev Yom Kippur, I was Sheva Al Tasa. Nothing wrong, no problem at all. Sof Davar. Then Rabbi Avadi Yosef also goes into a whole long, long discussion, like he very often does in the Yabia Omer. Comes to the conclusion again. Sof Davar, Lafi Anias Daiti. Ein Suffolk, there is no doubt in my opinion, Shemuter Lito Kadur Zeb Erev Yom Kippurim. You are certainly allowed to do this on Erev Yom Kippur. Uvifrat Lemisha Tainis Kasha Labioser, certainly someone who has a very difficult time fasting. Mitzvah Kavit Bazeh, you're saving yourself from having to break the fast. And therefore he says, I would suggest that you do it. Sof Davar Akol Nishma, Ki Amitzdar Harbe Betainis Yom Kippurim, someone who has great difficulty fasting. O Shechoshish Mekeev Rosh Hachayotze Bazeh, Muter Lito Kadur Erev Yom Kippur Lemenias. So, seems to come to the conclusion that it's absolutely mutter. He doesn't accept at all the opinion of the Stechemed. He thinks it's not correct, because after all, the whole mandate of Inui on Yom Kippur is B'Shev Al Tasa. Make sure you refrain from doing something on Yom Kippur that you otherwise would have done. Over here, everything that I'm doing is on Erev Yom Kippur. So there's no problem. Comes along Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he's not so sure. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes, hard for me to say that it's absolutely usser, because what am I going to say? What's the isser? What did you violate? Can't say you violated Tanu's Nafsha Seichem. The Gemara says it's only B'Shev Al Tasa. But you can't say that you're doing the right thing. So writes here Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he says you're a novel B'Shus HaTorah. I don't know. I don't like such a title. But Shlomo Zalman writes, you're going against what the Torah told you to do. The Torah wants you to feel uncomfortable on Yom Kippur, and you're not doing that. That's the bottom line. Can I say that you violated this isser or that isser? Hard for me to say. But can I say you really did what you were supposed to do on Yom Kippur? No. For example, I was thinking about it. Somebody doesn't want to feel uncomfortable on Yom Kippur. So you decide, I'll hook myself up to IV, and I'll be fine. I'll sit in shul, plugged into the IV, everything will be fine. Again, if somebody's a chole, obviously IV is not called achila. Even though it obviously sustains the body, it's not called achila. If someone's a chola, obviously it's a great thing to do. Instead of having to eat normally, you should use IV. That's a great idea. Whether you're mechuyev to take IV instead of eating is a big shaila. Most achronim say you're not mechuyev to do that. But if a chola chooses to do that, I was told in the biography of Rabbi Yashav, I don't remember anymore, but I seem to recall that somebody told me that it says there that when he was older, now I don't know in his life what was considered older. Does it mean like over 100 or it means 80 and over? I have no idea. So Rabbi Yashav, I was told, in the end of his life, when he was weak and they were concerned for him to fast, he asked them that he doesn't want to eat on Yom Kippur, he wants to be hooked up to an IV the entire Yom Kippur. That's what he did. Makes sense. That's not called an achila. So instead of actually eating, he went ahead and he hooked himself up to an IV. So a doctor told me today that in Williamsburg, they have IV stations all over the place. And if someone feels uncomfortable in the middle of davening, they go and they have people who will prick you and take care of you. I don't know. Sounds interesting. But the question is, let's say I'm not sick. Let's say I'm a regular person. Look, I find it difficult to fast because I love to eat. I love to eat. So I love to nosh, I love to eat. So for me, it's difficult to fast. I wouldn't call myself a chola. I'm like everybody else who has difficulty fasting. Fasting is not comfortable for any of us. Baruch Hashem, we live in a society where we eat all the time. So fasting is not something that we enjoy doing. So would I be allowed to go and hook myself up to an IV before Yom Kippur? Just stop. Not because I'm going to be sick, but because I'm going to be uncomfortable. What would you say about that? No. Why no? Why do you say yes to the pill and no to that? I'm hooking it up before Yom Kippur. I'm not doing anything on Yom Kippur. So before Yom Kippur, So you're saying, I'm getting the sustenance on Yom Kippur, but here it's a time release capsule, I'm also.
But it's constantly feeding you.
Yeah, and here where it's a time release capsule.
The pill does something.
Is that what a time release means? Right? Isn't that what it means? That it gives off over time? What? So it should be the same as IV, right? So once you hear the question of the IV, this becomes much more complicated.
No, because here the IV is going drip, all the pill.
You did everything before. You did one mysa. Okay, you can split hairs. You can say maybe there's a chilek. Question is it a chilek? That's a good question. So Reb Shlomo Zalman again, he says, if you take the IV, will you tell a person you violated the din of Tanus Nafshaseichem? Hard to say that. Hard to say such a thing. What do you mean? It's not called achila. What did I do? I hooked it up before Yom Kippur. I didn't do anything. I did no malacha. I didn't prick myself. I did nothing. But can you say that you really fulfilled Yom Kippur the way you're supposed to? No, that's not Tanus Nafshaseichem. So he calls you the wonderful title of a novel b'shusato. All right, not bad.
But you have the same thing with Nino Asasando, so now that's the same question. You get not the most uncomfortable shoe, or a shoe in general.
Right. So that's what we spoke about a few weeks ago.
I know we did, but we weren't called the novel b'shusato at the time. You know, I'm just saying it's...
Because that's the Rishonim's question. The Rishonim had a disagreement, if you remember. The Rambam said the problem with the shoe is not the fact that it's leather, but the fact that it gives support to your foot. So then, that's why there was a major discussion when the Crocs came around, and they're very comfortable for some people. I don't have, but some people enjoy them very much. So if you have that, so that was the major question. Can you use Crocs on Yom Kippur? What do you mean? You're very comfortable. You're more comfortable in sneakers, right? You're more comfortable in sneakers than you are in shoes. I wish I could wear sneakers every day.
It's the same question. Absence of leather, or is it, you have to feel uncomfortable.
Right.
I mean, it happens to be they mandated that as a general rule.
Right.
But, so I'm saying it's very similar.
So it's very tough. It's very tough to draw the line. That's where Shlomo Zalman says, can I say that you violated the din of Inui? No. But can I say that you're doing the right thing? Of course not. I spoke to my father about this a number of years ago. I called him today again just to make sure he hasn't changed his opinion. It happens every once in a while. And he said that he still feels that it's not right. He still feels like Shlomo Zalman. He didn't know that Shlomo Zalman writes about it. I read him today what Shlomo Zalman says. He said, yeah, he agrees. He said, I wouldn't call him such a name. But he said the Rambam says that the mitzvah of Inyan Yom Kippur is a kiyum mitzvah. If you went through Yom Kippur and you were ma'una, then you have the kiyum mitzvah. Not that you do anything actively. So he said, here you set up a system that you're not going to be ma'una the whole Yom Kippur, so you weren't mekayim the mitzvah. That you went against what the Kavanas HaTorah was. And therefore he argued that he thought these pills are not proper to take. Now just before we have all the questions, let's just move to the next step. So we spoke about whether or not you have to stop eating before Yom Kippur an hour before. Then we spoke about these pills. Now the next question is, what about taking pills on Yom Kippur itself? So let's say somebody is a chola. Let's say somebody has some sort of problem and they're not feeling well. Obviously, a chola she'esh b'sakana, you take care of it right away. What about a chola she'ein b'sakana? Which means, what is the definition of a chola she'ein b'sakana? Chola she'ein b'sakana means anybody who is generally considered muta l'mishkav, which my father translates, I was told the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa writes the same thing. It means anyone who is not functioning the way they normally would. Now, obviously, on a fast day, none of us are functioning the way we would. All of us are a little bit weaker than we otherwise would be. It's not what it means. It means somebody who's muta l'mishkav, means you have a migraine, that you can't think straight, you can't stand up, you have to lay down in a bed, you're just totally uncomfortable. That's called a chol hashem asakana. What's the halacha with regard to Shabbos and Yom Kippur for chol hashem asakana? So the halacha is that we would allow an isur d'rabbanan to be violated. Sometimes you would allow amir l'nachri. And the question is Amir l'Nachri and other Yisurim d'Rabbanan, but certainly Amir l'Nachri is Mutter, and you're allowed to take medicine. You're allowed to take medicine. The Gzeira of Refua does not apply to a Chol HaShe'em HaSakana. What is the Gzeira of Refua? So the Gemara tells us in Masechah Shabbos. Back in the times of the Gemara, in order to make medicine, they used to crush up a bunch of samamanim, a bunch of spices or whatever it was, and they would make them into a pill. And the Gemara is concerned if you're going to allow someone to take medicine on Shabbos, maybe it's going to lead them to violate the iser of crushing, of tochein on Shabbos. You're going to crush up all the ingredients and you're going to make a pill. So therefore we said you're not allowed to take pills. Who's not allowed to take pills on Shabbos? Who are we talking about? Obviously, a chol she'esh b'sakana is allowed to do whatever. You're allowed to drive him to the hospital. He's allowed to drive himself to the hospital. Right? Like Rav Asher Weiss once told me. A lot of things you could do with a shina. I wouldn't say to drive to the hospital with your feet. That's what he told me. Not a good idea. So, just keep that in mind.
Isn't there a concept of ain tochen up or tochen now?
So you're talking about bisman hazeh, bisman hazeh. Now that the pill is already made, and 99.9% of regular people in a shul don't know how to make their own pills, unless you're a pharmacist. Most people are not. So most people don't even know how to make. So there were those who said, maybe the whole gzera doesn't apply. It's generally not the accepted opinion. What? Correct. So generally we can't even make the pills. You have to be certified. It has to be made in a certain place. You can't just have the ingredients at home. So that's why there was a major argument to say maybe bisman hazeh, the whole pills issue shouldn't apply at all. I think generally we assume refuah on Shabbos is still something that we're choshish for. It's still something that it's a gzera kayemes. But we'll be very makel on it. We are pretty makel on refuah b'Shabbos. So who does it apply to? Who's not allowed to take a pill? A cholosh yesh b'sakana is certainly allowed to take a pill. He's allowed to be mechal Shabbos. Cholosh yesh b'sakana is also allowed to take a pill. Someone who's mutal amishkav, someone who's not functioning normally, is allowed to take a pill. The gzera refuah doesn't apply. So who does it apply to? So the answer is it applies to someone who is a bari, someone who's totally healthy, but a mechush balma, I have a headache. Okay, so I'm a little uncomfortable, a headache. So something like that, you're not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. Now, that is the generally accepted opinion, and that is what we generally assume. So now the question comes on Yom Kippur. I have somebody who is a cholosh emes hakana, which means they're getting a migraine. Migraine is already cholosh emes hakana. You can't function normally. Migraine is not something like a little headache. So if a person gets a migraine, then you would be allowed to take medication on Yom Kippur. Question is, how do you take the medication? So, some people know how to take medication without any liquid. So you just take the pill and you're fine. Right? Because the gzeir refuah doesn't apply to you. You're cholosh emes hakana. The doctor over here just told me that there was a big discussion today that, what is it called? Pill-induced esophagitis. That a person can take a pill, if you take it without liquid, it could get stuck in your esophagus. And what can happen? Stuck in your esophagus, and you'll have chest pains, and it's not healthy, clearly. So maybe you should think twice about taking a pill without liquid. If you've done it before and it's not a problem, maybe. But if not, I don't know what to tell you. You should ask a doctor. So my father always tells people on Yom Kippur that if they can't normally take a pill or it's too big to take without water, look, if you have a tiny little pill, it's very easy to take down. But if it's something that's not so small, my father always says try to take it with a little bit of scope. Scope is not ra'ay la'achila. It's nifsel me'achila. It's not called eating at all. Scope you're not supposed to swallow either, but to take a little bit, I assume, is not so dangerous. Right? What?
Alcohol.
Okay, I think they say a little bit is not so bad. So my father says if that's what you can do, that's what you should do. So you have to figure out what to do about the pill and how to take it down. If you can't do that, obviously, so then you figure out. Shiurim, you do whatever you have to do. Now, the question that we started with was, what about taking, let's say, a caffeine pill? I want to take a caffeine pill. So what is the status of a caffeine pill? That is a great question. Now, I have two problems. My two problems are that I never drink coffee in my life, so I don't know what it means to go a day without drinking a coffee. But I have spoken to a lot of people who do drink coffee every day, and there are those who say that if you just drink one cup of coffee a day and then you take off for one day and you don't drink a cup that day, you already get migraines. That's what some people say. Some people say they drink 3 cups of coffee a day. Someone here just told me after davening, he drinks 3 to 4 cups of coffee a day. He says on Yom Kippur, he doesn't take any pills, he doesn't take anything, he's totally fine. Okay? We have all kinds of different people. So, lev yodei amaras nafsho, a person has to know what kind of personality they are and how their body reacts. There are those who, if they don't go a whole day with caffeine, will have real migraines, they'll have real problems. So the question is, they want to take a caffeine pill or a caffeine suppository. Is that permissible or not? Well, I spoke to my father today, and he argued that maybe, he wasn't sure, but he argued that perhaps there's room to distinguish between a caffeine pill and a caffeine suppository. And he thought maybe there's more room to be makel to take the caffeine pill as opposed to the suppository. Why? He said pills is not called an achila. It's not called eating. So therefore, you don't have to worry about the eating aspect of the pill. That's not what we're concerned. What about the gzera of refuah? What about the gzera of refuah when it comes to a pill? Right? Shouldn't it apply to a pill? So he said that the gzera of refuah only applies to something which is not a meichel bria. So let's say, for example, let's say you have people who take vitamins every single day. Every day without fail they take vitamins. So are they allowed to take vitamins on Shabbos? You have a woman, takes birth control every day. She has to take it every day, you can't skip a day. Is she allowed to take it on Shabbos or Yom Tov? Of course. Why? Isn't that refuah? So my father told me once that somebody argued, I forgot who he said, one of the Talmidim of Rav Moshe said, That's not called refuah because you're not sick. Right? Refuah is only when you're sick. Over here, the birth control is not because the woman's sick, it's because of something else, so you can't call that refuah. He never thought that was a good shot. He didn't think that was correct. That's not the definition of refuah. The whole issue here is a pill. So is that called a refuah or not? Is not dependent on whether or not you're sick. It's whether or not you have a condition. So here, the question was, why is a woman allowed to take birth control pills on Shabbos? Why isn't that exactly refuah? She's not a chodesh yesh b'sakana. What's the answer? Oh, so some say because if you miss a pill, then it upsets the whole regimen, and then you will become a chol hashem sakana. You're going to go, everything's going to be out of whack. And others say the reason why is because it's a meichel briyim. If this is something you take every day, this is part of your diet. The same way I eat ice cream every day, and the same way I take a cup of milk every day, this is part of my diet. I don't call this a medicine at all. I call this just a part of the daily routine of what I take. And therefore on Shabbos, it's considered like a part of my meal. It's like everything else. So here, my father argued, maybe you should say that a caffeine pill, which is normal, what a normal person would take, I assume, on a regular day, had they forgotten a coffee, and there was no way of them getting a coffee, they would take a caffeine pill, correct? So maybe we should consider that a meichel briyim, but a suppository which no normal person would ever take, and the only reason you're taking it today is because it's Yom Kippur and you're afraid of taking down a pill. My father argued maybe there's room to say that a suppository is called a refuah and a pill is not. A pill might be a meichel briyim. Let's say a Tylenol, somebody has a headache on Yom Kippur and they want to take a Tylenol. Maybe a Tylenol, let's say you take two Advil a day, for whatever reason, you have a condition the last couple of weeks. So maybe to take two Advil, that's called a Meichel Briyim, perhaps, because that's what a normal person would take every day. Or a caffeine pill, or something of that nature, a birth control pill. But to put in a suppository, he thought maybe that gets involved in the Gzeir Verfuah, which I think is a very interesting Chiddush. We have to churn over it a little bit and think about it a little more. And I think it has tremendous implications. And it's counterintuitive, because most people would think, oh, what do you mean? I'm not allowed to put anything into my mouth. No, it's nothing to do with achila. It has to do with what is bichlal d'gzeir refuah and what perhaps is not. And that's where you have to figure out, what do we consider to be a meichel briyim perhaps? Like it's a part of my daily regimen, it's a part of my diet, like the vitamins that I take every day, which memela is mutter. And what do you say is considered to be like a refuah, and therefore would not be permissible at all. Yeah?
The whole rationale behind taking
right.